Our second reading this morning comes from the book of John. It's a gospel lesson. If you'd like to read along with me, it's John 1, chapters, verses 29 through 42. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the story of the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of this world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. This morning, I thought since I'm new to most of you, one or two of you I've known in outside before here, and I've attended church with a few friendly faces at other places. So my message this morning is, why am I here? That's really more of why we all here. But first I want to say, how did I get here? So that's what I'm going to take just a minute before we get into the real scripture lesson. And, you know, life's challenges, and we all have them, also brings us opportunities. So, you know, I grew up right across the street here at Main Street Methodist Church and went to church from the time I can remember, probably before then, actually, till middle teenage years. And then some things going on in my life, you know, my mother was sick a lot and in the hospital and was traveling out of town some, and I just kind of got out of the habit. I strayed away from the church for several years. And so later on, when I got out of high school, I went to DCC and took precision machining and got a job at Dan River Mills at night working on second shift so I could pay for it. And so when I finished that, my dad always told me I was burning the candle at both ends. He said, "I can help you," and I said, "I want to do it myself." So he was right. I was burning the candle at both ends. I kind of burned myself out, and unfortunately, it's a Gosney. It's in the Gosney males in our family that we have left leg phlebitis, which is blood clots in the leg. So, like the week after I graduated, I came down with my first episode of that, and I thought that was terrible because I ended up in the hospital for about 3 weeks, but. What was really good about that, it was a challenge, but it brought an opportunity. I met my wife there. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but my neighbor lived next to my parents when I grew up, was a nurse on second shift, and my wife was going to nursing school, and she, my current wife now, my only wife, and then I didn't know her, that's what my point I'm trying to make. So, lo and behold to me, who was to become my wife, was a nursing student, and she was working at night also, going to school during the day. So my neighbor, parent's neighbor, she always made sure that Pill was assigned to me, okay? So what I didn't realize till later in life is there are not many 22-year-olds in the hospital. So any of the young women that are in the hospital seem to always know where that one or two 22-year-old guy is. So, and they believe me, they all came by to see me. But Ms. Greenwood made sure that Peel was always attending to me every night. And later, I realized how important that was in my life. So we became married. Her grandmother went to Mercy Seat Presbyterian Church. So I joined Presbyterian Church by letter of transfer from Main Street. Two of the best decisions I ever made in my life, marrying her and going to Mercy Seat. So back to my career for a minute. So Dan River, I stayed there where most people that were going to school and some were working there with me, they all chose to go out of town and whatever. And I liked it. I liked the environment. I liked the people. So I stayed. Well, soon Dan River put me in a management program, 2 years of business college and so forth there in Danville, and got into business management very early on. Then an important thing happened. I moved from one plant to another, and then a very important thing happened in my life, and it took me a minute to realize it, but I was assigned as a plant engineer of a large finishing plant. And we had Friday meetings with all the staff, and it wasn't very long after I started attending those meetings, I knew no one in this facility. So one of the guys there, Jim Bain, followed me back to my office one day. And so he came and said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" That kind of like, nobody ever asked me that in a work environment. And because I'd never mentioned anything about Christianity or, you know, in the few weeks I'd known these people. And he proceeded to give me a sermon, I guess, of sorts. It was very short and he didn't mean it to be, but to my heart, it was a sermon. And he made it known how important it was that people can recognize something like that in a person. So I was like, after he left, I sat there for a minute. I'm like, wow, people do pay attention. People really do pay attention to when your faith shows through. And I don't know what I'd done in particular, but something he saw there. So I took that to heart for the rest of my life. So as that finishing plant closed, due to all the downsizing, eventually it went out of business. But that plant was closing. I had a job to go back into Central Shops where I was a manager before I went there. And so I was like, I was taken care of, but it was sad with so many people losing their jobs. And the one time that I tried to make something happen that the Lord didn't send my way, it was the hardest time in my life because I had a company called Cone Mills start courting me for a plant engineer's job. And it was going to be down near Wilmington near the beach. And they offered me an ungodly amount of money. I could keep my house that I had and go get another one. And it just seemed like too good to be true. And so I asked my wife, what do you think? She says, whatever you think's best for us, you do it. And I said, gee, thanks. That didn't help much at all. So I struggled with that for 2 weeks. That was the worst 2 weeks of my life because I was trying to do something myself. And everything else that had come to me happened. And as I look back on it, I know the good Lord made all that happen for me. He put things in place for me to be successful and to be happy, more importantly. So a couple years later after it wasn't announced, but you could feel that things weren't going that well. A lot of textile plants had closed. One here had closed. J.P. Stevens had closed all over the country. Dan River, I thought, was still strong enough to make it through that. Well, out of the blue, I get a call from J.R. Griffin. A lot of you may know him. He's the president over there. He and I had gone to high school together, but not much relationship since then. And he says, hey, we've got a position that I want to offer you. And he actually called me twice. First time I turned him down. And then later on he called me back a few months later and offered me another position. I said, that sounds interesting. And I never had thought about leaving Dan River other than that one time I tried to make it myself. So what I did was, the decision was made for me. I didn't really decide. I said, yeah, I'll come talk to you. I'd been there for 29 years. Thought I was going to stay there my entire life, my entire career. But that decision was so easy because I didn't try to make that decision. That decision was given to me. So I interviewed, finished up the story 2 years later. I mean, 2 weeks later, I'd already turned my notice in. 2 weeks later, I left and went down there. 2 weeks to the day after I left, it was announced on the radio they were closing. And I said, good Lord is looking after old Mark once again. So he sent me this. He sent me this opportunity. Now that ties all back into my faith because as I mentioned, was talking with the young people, you know, Russell was a moderator of Mercy Seat Church when we were between pastors many times. And back in the 80s, and I probably, thinking back on it, we probably had this doom and gloom look on our face because we didn't know what we were going to do about a preacher, right? You also know that same feeling, I think, about now. It's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Russell challenged me as an individual. He said, well, all of you here are elders. You're all capable of delivering the word. You know, and they were like, not me, not me, you know. Well, Russell really pounded on me about that. So I took the challenge. I was scared to death the first time I did that. Probably wasn't that good. Probably not that good today, so. Unfortunately, y'all got to put up with 2 weeks, so. But Russell made that opportunity to me through a challenge to me. And I'm so thankful he did that. You know, through accepting that challenge, I've been able to grow in the Spirit. I've been able to study the Word. My memory's not real good at all, so I don't remember a lot of Bible verses. I've read a whole lot of them, but I can't remember all any of them. Anybody in here could probably trade off of me Bible verse, and you'd win in a heartbeat, because I can't remember. I have to read them and read them and read them. But since that time, I've been constantly challenged. I was challenged to come here, okay? I felt obligated to come here because of how I mentioned, you know, how y'all's church administered to us, you know, with that ark, and I felt obligated to be here with you, and I'm so glad I'm here. But anyway, that brings me to why am I here today? That's a little bit about why I chose to be willing to stand up and sometimes embarrass myself in front of a large group of people. But it's God's way of making me study the way I feel. If I wasn't doing this, I would not be studying His Word as diligently as I do. So I'd not be the person that I am today unless He led me and forced me, and sometimes to do that. So today's service, I want to ask you the same question. Why are you here? I know why you came, because you remember the church. But why are you here? What are you here for? So I hope each Sunday you'll ask yourself that question, like, okay, what's going to be different today? Why am I here? You know, a couple weeks ago, the gospel lesson, I was looking back on y'all's websites. I know y'all had the same gospel lesson from chapter 1 in John, verse 1, verses 3 through 5 is what I picked out. It says, I want to remind you of these verses. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And life in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That darkness is us, obviously. We still don't understand it. We struggle as we read each and every time to understand the meaning, what that meaning has for us. But, you know, we can probably all agree that we really don't understand everything that God's trying to do with us. But as Presbyterians, we all know that He does have a plan for us. So, nevertheless, we try to let that light shine through us. So, and I know this wasn't y'all's lectionary gospel last week, but just wanted to mention at our church we had John chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. And that says, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one of you who do not. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Of course, he was speaking of Jesus. So I'm not sure how y'all feel about that, but I can sure relate to that scripture. You know, maybe I'm not worthy to be up here this morning to bring a message. You know, I'll try my best. We all do that. We try to do our best in each and every day. But I assure you, you know, although we can sit back and not take those challenges and think, hey, I've done enough. You know, that's all God expects from me. I can assure you He expects much more of you and me each and every day. So let's don't get too lax in that. You know, unlike the people around us, we can kind of fool sometimes, and you know, we can say things that maybe be one way over here and then go over and be a little bit different over here. But to God, we can never fool. We can never hide. We can never change who we really are, because He knows us. But the good news is He is here among us this morning. His Spirit is always here. That's where we come to feel that Spirit put in our hearts. So in today's reading on chapter 1, verse 29, you know, John declares, here comes Jesus. Here's the Lamb of God, the one that will take me away from the sin of the world. You know, the sin of the world is mostly importantly our sin that we have. You know, in John's day, you know, sheep and other things were often given as sacrifices to redeem the sinners of that day. But for you and I, you know, we don't need that. Jesus already has given us that freely. So we don't need to have that exercise of something given for us, because we don't need that middleman, I call it. We don't need the broker. We don't need an agent or somebody to speak for us. You know, we can go right to the top with all of our cares. So, you know, we're enabled. So as we're enabled, what does that mean for us? Kind of removes all the excuses, doesn't it? We can't depend on anyone else but us to speak up for us and what our heart needs. You know, Jesus coming to earth, his death and his resurrection gave us all the freedoms we need. You know, we have the freedom to ask for forgiveness anytime, anywhere. You don't have to be in a setting like this. You can be anywhere. You can be in your car at a stoplight, anywhere. So as I told the youth, the more you give control of your life and look for things that really have importance in it, then the more your life will tend to straighten out, I found out. You'll be happier. I don't say you'll make more money. I don't say you'll be more prosperous in the ways of the world. You'll be happy. You'll be satisfied. You'll be content. Later, John said in verse 31 that, you know, he didn't know the significance of Jesus until it was revealed to him through a divine revelation. Now, I don't think probably most of us will ever have such a divine revelation as John did, although who knows. But I know Pastor Rich has been here with you guys, and he comes to us once a month and has been for a good while. And he begins every service by this transition from coming here to being here. And I've been thinking about that a lot, and I know you've heard that. So, you know, what does that mean to us? Spiritually, what does that mean to us? So ask again, ask yourself, why am I here? You know, are we truly here, or are we just sitting here? Are we truly here in spirit trying to grow? Or are we sitting there saying, how long is this guy going to talk? Football game's coming on. Well, I checked. It didn't start till 3 today, so we can go on for a good while. Right? What you having for lunch? I don't know. You have to worry about that yourself. So, but John confessed in verse 33. He did not know Jesus until the one that sent John, baptized with water of God, had said to him, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So you see, John actually knew Jesus, you know, well before he was exposed to him in this way by the Lord. You know, it might be unlikely that you and I will see that type of revelation, as I said, but you never know. You know, we're not, maybe we're not paying close enough attention. I've worked in Danville for many years, and so there's a couple of people on the streets up there that walked around, and I don't know if you ever remember the guy that used to wear a burlap bag all the time. And he was well known around the Danville area. I never did know his name, but he was always out on the street. Had a long beard, kind of looked like the pictures we've seen of Jesus. Okay? I never stopped to talk to him. I discounted him as being a little off, maybe. I don't know. He's out there barefooted and cold as the weather in a burlap bag. Didn't seem normal or right to me, but you know, we discount people all the time. We discount people. And I'm just wondering, you think it's any of those people that God places before us that we think are a little different? Is that really someone that he sent to us that we should be paying attention to? Well, no. Maybe we shouldn't discount everything so quickly if they don't fit our mold. Maybe that we should pay attention to everything God sends our way. You know, the opportunities that I mentioned will present itself in many, many ways. So, you know, as you, some of you here are current church leaders, you're on the, you know, session as an elder. You've had to step up now that Russell's gone and take on more responsibilities, but I say you can still do more. You know, as an elder, you know, you have to assist a pastor to maybe go out and serve community shut-ins or whatever. You know, there's many, many things that we'll have to do when we hold that position. But just as a member of the congregation that's a non-elder, you know, will you allow yourself to grow in faith by accepting the challenges and opportunities that come your way? So I know when you're without a pastor, everybody's having to do a little bit, you know, a little bit extra being leaders in certain ways. So there is plenty of opportunity for everyone to stand up and expand their faith through service. So just as we read in verse 35 today, you know, John was standing by his disciples, Andrew and Simon. You know, when he told them to look, here comes that man Jesus. You know, they immediately began to follow him after questioning him. So that's kind of the faith I think you and I need. You know, we don't want to follow everybody in a burlap bag walking around town, but we need to recognize those that we need to follow. First, we need to follow his word and be guided by that. But then there's others we need to follow as they challenge us, as they bring us real challenges to our faith in life. We need to accept that challenge. For only through that challenge can you grow in your faith. And then, of course, as we said, Logan, that faith is what molds you as a person. It brings you a little bit closer to God. It puts more love in your heart. It gives you more understanding of people. Maybe makes you less mad. There's a lot of mad people in the world, isn't it? All I got to do is go to Walmart. I hardly ever go there. Blessed, I try to find other ways, and I hope nobody here works at Walmart. I'm offending, but it's a good store. Just some of the people in it get a little wild. But you can see so many people that are angry in their heart. So as Christians, it's our job. It's our obligation. It's our responsibility to bring love even to those people. It's hard to engage someone like that sometimes. But I found that just a quick mention at the door, open the door for somebody and have a quick word, you know, can set them from maybe being a little bit less than pleasant to replying to you and saying thank you or have a good day or something like that. So you got to be the leader. You know, as a Christian, we've got to be leaders. So there are going to be setbacks along the way. You're going to step out. You're going to say, take that leap of faith. You're going to accept some responsibilities that's kind of cast your way. And you're going to fail sometimes. You're going to think it's a failure, but it's not. It seems to be a failure at the moment, but it'll lead to bigger and better things. So take that chance. The psalmist reassures us in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth and a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Now listen closely to verse 4. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust. So as long as we agree that we want to be happy. I didn't say we want to be easy. I said happy, fulfilled, enriched, liking what we're doing in our lives. That's the best way to do it. So we just don't confuse happy with easy and we'll be okay, because it won't be easy at times. So and just as in life, in Christ, we're going to always face challenges. But we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become anew. Remember, through the Son of Jesus Christ, it's never too late, never too late to accept a challenge. Turn to the back of your bulletin this morning. Because as I was reading the bulletin the other day, after it was posted on your website, right there in the very center of the back, it says, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? God has a purpose for us all. It's up to us as individuals to go out and find that purpose, accept that challenge. You know, the young people have energy to put into it. Old people have the wisdom. Those that are in the middle have a little bit of both. But I was told years ago by one of our church members when I was bringing a challenge up to do some project we're talking about, and as an older lady told me, she said, I've done this all my life. It's time for someone else to step up. And so I kept that thought in my head a lot, particularly the older I've gotten. It seems I stepped up more and more, which I think is a good thing. But I was at Williamson Memorial Presbyterian in Danville one day. I brought that up in a key point of my message. And I said, you know, the older, because if you look around, there's more older people in here than there's younger people, right? Everywhere I go, I think it's that way. So it's the older people that's got to continue to do that work. You cannot, just because you're older, say, let somebody else do it. The reason is, you have the wisdom. You have the wisdom, you have the experience, you have the knowledge to nurture and bring along those that may have a little bit of wisdom and youth, and particularly our youth. It's our obligation. And when I said that, afterwards, there was a gentleman that used to do some pulpit supply, came up to me. Actually, he came to Mercy Seat a couple times. And he said, you know, he's in his 70s now. And he said, I was just thinking about slowing down. He said, I think you've proven to me that I should not. I think the same challenge goes for each and every one of us. Just as Isaiah stated in our scripture this morning in verse 4, but I've said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hands, and my reward is with my God.